Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Overseas Connection podcast. Dare I say, hiccup-free, looking and sounding lovely. Episode 588. It is July 19th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. I have just the trio today, myself and the lovely Robin Tate.
Hello.
And also joining on the lower register, we have Pete Chin.
Hello.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for making it. Your commitment to the show is noted and appreciated.
We need committed.
Pete. Yeah, you, Pete, you've been here like almost every.
Come on, Joe. Spit it out, Joe.
Sorry, I was just trying to count all the times Pete's been on the show recently. And
no, I was pretty consistent up till last week, until the internet died on me. But no, I've been on more recent now because work's getting easier. But there we go.
You have. And you know what? It's appreciated because Kim has become a slacker. Kim has just totally, you know, slacked on.
I have nowhere else to go.
Robin, you are like the sun. You come up every day. We appreciate the fact that you're there, but oftentimes we curse you because you're a little too hot. You're a little too just burning too bright. So yeah, well, we shun you.
It's all right. I changed my background. It's okay. So
yes,
yeah, not as hot as it was.
No, it is certainly not as hot as it was. Hey, we are a video game podcast. We talk about video games. We talk about life. We talk about kind of a lot of stuff. But it is all centered and focused around video games. So if you are here for video game chat, hang in there. It will happen. We love to talk on Twitch. We love to talk on YouTube. We used to really love talking on Mixer because we thought it was the future, like Discord. But both of those things have shown they're not so reliable. Mixer shutting down this week coming up, by the way. Oh. And Discord took a big fat dump on the internet the other day. So that was fun. So we don't rely on those unreliable services. We just we do our thing on our primaries. Let's see. We should talk about some birthdays. We do have birthdays coming up. And it is important that I talk about the oldest of oldest, first and foremost. Gary DeFelice. His birthday, it's a milestone birthday. 90 years old. It's incredible. He is still the angry old man, by the way. If you watch him and look at him on Twitter, he's gone through this transformation. He suddenly is shouting at kids on his lawn. He wants everything to go back. It's kind of comical. He used to be this really, very liberal, moderate leaning.
Yeah.
And now suddenly he's just like, get off my lawn.
I'm so impressed. He's really putting himself out there. And you know what? Fair play to anybody, as I know, that puts themselves out there for what they think and maybe right. Against the norm or what is seen as the norm. So fair play to you, Gary. It's your one redeeming point at this moment in time.
Just the one.
Just one.
Yeah. But no, happy birthday to Gary. David Brown turns, we're going to say 32 today. But not today. It's actually going to be on the 25th. But 32, young and spry. Happy birthday to David Brown. Kim Woods, celebrating her 21st birthday.
Bless
this
her.
Coming week. This is amazing. Absolutely bless her. And the lovely, and I do mean lovely, and wonderful, Cindy DeLacy, my wife, turning 21 again. And that is on the 22nd of this month.
She is
so excited for her.
Fantastic at cocktails. Really, really
yes.
Good. You know, you give her
absolutely
two a day and there's a chance of a stroke. But if she has the whole bottle, well, you know.
We actually have a running joke.
Right.
So so along those lines, Robin, we have a running joke in this house, and it's not so much a running joke as it is a narrative. Cindy complains that whenever we drink wine, that her glass never seems to get empty, and she's like, she's drinking, and then she looks and she's like, I could have swore I was almost done with my glass. And that's because I am notorious for just going around and refilling. If I refill my glass, I will always refill her glass, which she hates, but I just do it, and I completely ignore her because she doesn't want me to do that so she can track how much she's drinking. And of course, me, ulterior motives. You know, I'm trying to weigh. It's like gambling, right? You know, if you bet, you know, on the hard eight enough times, eventually it's going to hit. So, yeah, I just keep refilling the glass. Mm-hmm. And so
that's just being a true gent.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. That's what it is.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here.
General was not recognized.
God, it all goes so quick.
It does. Hmm. It does indeed. But no. You're 21, only one time in life or several times, depending on who you are. All right.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Yum.
Mm. So, I want to start with Robin, but I'm not going to. I'm going to start with Pete. Pete, let's talk about the excitement. You were able to put your Speedo back on. Let's
not
talk
yet.
About this. Not yet.
No. And I'm really annoyed even more now. So the swimming pools and gyms, leisure centers, stuff, they're going to be open on the 25th of July. But reading an email that I got just a couple of days ago from the leisure center, they're not opening the swimming pool until the 1st of August. So I've got to wait 2 more weeks. And I'm absolutely frustrated to fuck now about it. I just need to get in that pool. I've put on so much weight. I just need to get my ass back into gear. I think,
have they said why they're delaying the pool opening versus...
They're doing a phased, just a phased opening, and they're just going to leave it for members only. So paying customers normally that go there are not going to be able to go. It's just going to be for members only. So one good thing about it, though, is they'll get a free month. They said that because if you continue to have your membership for the previous months, you get August free. So that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. It just seems like... so far away now, and I'm a bit frustrated. I just need to get into the pool. I really like swimming as my own as an exercise, and I don't really like doing anything else apart from push-ups. I think I'm going to start doing that this week.
Push-ups are good.
Yeah, they can really start to change your they define your body pretty well, don't they? Your shoulders and chest and stuff. So I think I'm going to start doing that.
Very good, very good. We can join together. Yeah. I do my 50 push-ups. And 50 sit-ups every morning, along with my arm curls and whatever those things are called. I can't keep my hand. I'm old. I can't remember. yes, I'm. Do you know what? It's funny. I see. And I'm showing you parts of my body, but here, this area here becoming more defined. And even though I've got a bit of a paunch still, because I mean I've got over a stone now, like 14, 15, 16, I think 17 odd pounds now since. End of April, I can see, you know, with the sit-ups, especially just on the left and the right side of my belly, there is sort of there's lines there that weren't there before, rather than round. But definitely,
those are called muscles.
Oh, okay, never had those before. But yeah, the guns are, you know, they're not never. I never want to be like Greg is massive when you see him; he's frightening.
You know, you say that, you say
but
that.
But it's nice. Yes. It is, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
But I feel definitely better up here. But I do my half hour of cardio, and then I maybe have some breakfast, and then I go upstairs before I have my shower, and I do the sit ups and press ups and other bits and pieces. And it's done and dusted within, you know, 3/4 of an hour, and that's it. I put on Spotify, search for 80s workout music, and away I go. I know that sound.
Do you wear the headband as well? Yeah, the pink headband.
We need to get him a headband. That would really.
So good stuff. You know,
is the picture.
Just mentally, physically, everything. I mean, I didn't, for the first time in probably months, I didn't yesterday because I didn't exercise yesterday. I don't know what it was. I still have this plantar fasciitis thing, this really bad pain in my feet, especially my left foot. Really, really bad, especially when I sit around. After I get up here tonight, I'll be walking like an old cripple for a few minutes until it starts to get the blood flowing. And I am doing the exercises, but it's going on for too long. And the cross trainer is brilliant for me. But even today, with Jasmine, didn't sleep very well last night at all. Judith thought was up most of the night for her. I just felt that, you know, I needed to get out there and do it. As tired as I felt, I needed, and you do feel better for it afterwards. And so mentally, physically, you know, there is a good routine there, and it's great. So I know you love the pool. I know even when we were in Amsterdam, you hovered over the top of the pool. No, you swim in the pool. You weren't that high then. Yeah, and it was cold. I remember you saying it was cold. The water was cold in the pool. So you need to get back to that. So I hope that you do get your pool open soon.
I'll definitely get into the pool in a couple of weeks. But I'll start with the push-ups, I think, because, like you say, you could tell in 3 or 4 weeks the difference. Rennie deltoids, trapezius, lats, biceps, they all change really, really quickly doing push-ups, especially if you're a fat lump like me.
So when you do a push-up, do you go down to your nose or do you dip? I mean, what is the correct way to do a push-up?
You don't want your nose touching. Actually, what you should be doing is keeping your back as straight as possible.
Yes.
So you're not dipping, but you want your chest to touch.
Oh, fuck.
That's as far down as you want to go. Is hit your chest to the floor.
That's really tough.
You can stop short of that. You don't have to go all the way down.
I won't even touch the floor. I've always been the one not to even touch any surfaces at all. And half press-ups are just as effective as a full press-up when you first start off.
If you can get your arm to a right angle, you're as you're coming down, you want this to be a right angle to the floor.
Okay, I'm doing that.
If you're looking at yourself in the mirror, you're going to see a right angle.
It's like I'm wanking.
That is more
I
than
do
enough.
As quick as I can.
That's disturbing. Very disturbing.
So, I do 10 normally, and then I do like one and a clap. And then one and a clap, and then fingers, just single fingers only. No, I don't. I do 50 press-ups, and I'm happy to do that. But the thing about it is, Pete, I couldn't do 10, like 3 months ago. I just couldn't, and it's amazing. Yeah. It's nice, and it's still hard work doing.
Push-ups are fantastic.
Push-ups and sit-ups.
Now, I'm going to challenge you. Here, different from your sit-ups, great for your core.
Okay.
Start doing planks. Alternate them. Don't do them. Try and do them every day, but do them like every other day, maybe every 2 days or so.
So what? You just hold yourself straight, isn't it?
So what you do with a plank is you're going to get onto your elbows, and so you're going to hold your body though in the same position as you would a push up.
Okay.
So your back is straight. Your butt's not up in the air. It's actually parallel to the ground. You're on your toes.
No air butting. Okay.
On your elbows.
Yes.
And then you hold that position.
Uh huh.
Start with like 30 seconds.
30.
You hold for 30 seconds.
Seconds.
Then you stop. You rest a little bit. Yes. Do it again. Do at least 3 sets of those.
Okay.
And then as you get better, increase your time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
The world record is a guy held a plank position for 8 hours.
Oh, is it 8 hours? I thought it was about 5 or 6. It was stupid.
Yeah. It's stupid long. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But I wouldn't even get too over keen with a plank. I'd just say 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Don't sleep and go, I could do this for 2 minutes.
No. You won't. You'll feel it. Yeah. I usually, right now, my target for a plank is a minute per. So I'll do a minute. I rest. Another minute. And as you get towards the end of that minute, and I have my stopwatch on my phone right in front of me, so I see it happening, and I will feel my body just starting to do that little bit of shake, a little bit of I want to quit. And you can shift a little bit on your toes to help out as you're doing it.
Because
trust me, when you start doing these, and what you'll feel it is you're going to feel it in your lower back.
Yeah.
Because it taxes your core. Because your core, which is, by the way, one of the most important things to strengthen, which is good you're doing sit-ups, that kind of thing. But your core, at the end of the day, ties into everything else. So strengthen your core.
So that's okay. So that's as far as swimming pools. Hmm. We're not and I've weighed myself as well. Because I thought to myself, I'm going to be about 17 and a half, 18 stone.
No.
I weighed myself and I was 16.10, so I'm not as heavy as I thought.
Okay.
But I'm going to aim at about 13 and a half stone.
Yeah,
I reckon
you're about the same height as me, aren't you, Pete? Yeah?
Yeah, Robin.
Aren't you? You are about the same height as me. Isn't that right?
On my knees, yeah.
No, are you taller than me much? What are you, 6 foot one? 6'2"? Oh, that's not so bad then. No, 13, yeah, okay. You're a bit bigger, taller than me. Not much. I'm just shy of 6, so yeah, okay. A wee bit. Yeah, 13 and a half. That's okay. Well, I'm now in the 13s, but I would love to be at 13.
So Pete, you're right around what, 224 is what 16 stones converts to. So
yeah,
that's a decent weight for your frame. It's not horrible.
No, but looking at me, I feel horrible when I look at myself in the mirror. Right. I've got, yeah, there's like, I just really need to shape up. But you know, if the pool's not opening and that's my only form of exercise, then you know, fuck it, I'm just gonna eat what I want and drink what I want until it opens, and then I'll roll with it. But I'm gonna get married next April, and I've got to shift some weight before that. And
you know,
I'll do it as long as I behave by Christmas, and yeah, I'll be fine. Sure. I'll probably see a big difference over 3 or 4 months. But there we go. Other stuff I've been up to. Right, I've watched.
Wait, real quick. Are they gonna make you wear a mask in the pool?
No.
Jesus Christ. I've seen people wearing masks in the sea.
I know. It kills me. I see the dumbest one I ever see is the person driving in their car with a mask.
Oh, by themselves. Yes.
They're like, you're isolated. It's totally okay.
I'm so fucking virtuous. Sorry, my language is atrocious. Yeah. I'm so fucking virtuous. Oh, God.
Anyway. Yeah. We encourage wearing masks. Don't get me wrong. We do encourage it.
We've got to start wearing masks in shops next. Is it next Saturday, Robin?
24th. I don't know if the Northern Mexicans have taken it on yet. But most likely, we'll probably wear masks like 100 feet before the shop. And you have to think about it and vote on it before you go into the shop. We'll probably go to even further extremes. So the Catholics trying to overimpress the Protestants. Pardon?
Why don't they say, right, tomorrow you've got to do it? Why leave it a week? Why? I don't know.
It's nuts. So they can get signs printed, stuff like that. I don't know. It is nutballs. Yeah. Anyway.
I've been watching a good TV series called Sinner. I don't know whether you've ever seen that before. It's on Netflix. No. I don't know if you can get it in the US, but it's this detective who's had a bit of a rough past, and the first season was about a horrible murder that goes on, and he kind of unravels all of that. The second one's about a cult killing, and the third one, which I watched recently, is about this guy who's just an absolute schizophrenic type guy, and he's trying to work him out. It's a real good TV series. I've been watching that anyway this week, season 3. I've played a card game as well this week called Dobble.
Has anyone ever played it? No, but I want to talk about a card game. Yes, I want. Okay. You talk about yours first. You show me yours. I'll show you mine.
Okay. Right. Well, Dobble. I don't know how many is in the actual deck, but they're circular cards. There's 5 or 6 different games within this one. Pack of cards that you can play, and they've, when you turn a card over, they've all got pictures. It's a picture of broccoli, a picture of an apple, there's a ghost, an igloo, snowman. I'm trying to think, there's a lot of generation again now. All different colors and things on these cards, and they're not all the same size though, so they do differ as you start like looking at all the other cards.
Yes.
And you can
thank you, Robin.
There's a game almost like Snap, where you've got a deck. You've got 7 or 8 cards each, and when you turn a card over, you've got to match. You've got to get rid of all your cards and match the shapes up with the center card. There's an elimination game. There's 5 games anyway you can play in this game of Dobble, and it was really, really good. We had a good night of fun with that. Okay. It's well worth it if you're into your card games. And the most boring thing I've done this week is we're trying to look at reopening our centre. Where I work, it's a conference centre stroke hotel. So we've got bed and breakfast guests, plus we've got PhD students as well that come to our place to study, and we also have religious and spiritual courses. And it's at the moment, conference centres, they're not opening in the UK, but I've just been doing risk assessments and all different kinds of work this week in trying to focus on how we're going to get open again. And right. It's been, you know, it's the it's really important, but at the same time, it's just all boring. It's really boring with, you know, some things reading into all the legislation and what we have to do. And so it's just been risk assessments and just a lot of reading, which I'm not a massive fan of.
I get an email every day or every other day from the office saying, "Oh, we've put in a new sanitizer in the reception and this, that, and the other." And my boss texted me on Friday to say, "Can I have my home address? Because he's going to send me out some face masks." And I'm going, "Frag, oh please." I don't know. I'm fed up with the whole thing, and I know it's important.
You
know,
trust me.
I've said it there all the time. We've got to be sensible. We've got to be safe, and we've got to make a profit. You know, because if we don't, we won't be here in a year's time. And and the thing that's really doing my head right now, Pete, because it is a middle management dream as well, is the rules that you've put into play for your conference center, are they sensible or are they over the top? It's like the debate about schools right now, where my son, all the way through this, all through all the pandemic, has a part-time job. He hasn't been at uni because uni is off, so he's been in his Iceland shop three or four days a week. People in supermarkets and convenience stores, they've all been there. People in hospitals dealing with these people, but the people in retail, food service, have been there, and it's driving me insane with six kids that need to get to school. Surely if we can get a bar open and all the bits and pieces open right now, they can work out how to get a friggin' school open. It's just
Schools open. I'm sorry, but our alcohol consumption far more important than the knowledge of our children. It's been weird. It's weird out here. So California, we rolled back. So we were kind of getting into full opening, and then suddenly everything got the brakes hit on it. And now we're back into this weird thing of certain things are not being opened up, yet other things which you would think shouldn't be opened up are still open. Quite sure how the rules are applying to everything.
Better than close up the shops that sell hash, huh?
No. The marijuana shops are certainly still open. All of the only thing that really has been for sure shut down: nail salons, hair salons, bars that don't serve food. Everything else seems to have some kind of loophole to be able, including gyms. Apparently, I thought our gyms were going to be closed, but I drive by my gym every day and it's friggin' open.
The bars can open now if they serve Kumo chips, as they're calling them in New York.
Yeah.
Which is a bar has to serve food, but if they serve crisps and charge for the crisps or
right.
Yeah. So that's kind of odd.
Hey, quick, real fast. Want to shout out to the users in the chat. We've got Hardly Dan, users. We've got M. Brashler, Brian users. Davies, and Somo99.
Praise the users. I believe in the users.
Yes.
We're talking about card games. So I also bought a card game the other week, and it's called Taco versus Burritos. I don't know why I bought this, but you know why I bought this. And then it's a simple card game, a bit like what you talked about, Pete, and we were playing it with the kids. And you, at the beginning of the game, you decide whether you are going to be a taco or going to be a burrito, as you can see on the screen. It makes no difference to the game whatsoever. So you deal out the cards, and what you have to do is each card has a worth. And it's a bit like, Jack Change It or Uno. So there's different cards have different points. There are penalty cards that you can send in the health inspectors to wipe out someone's burrito or their taco. So they have to start building their meal from the very, very beginning again. And there's lots of stuff like that. Or to counteract the health inspector, you have a No Bueno card, which you can play. So it's a good, fun... a game. So it's simple, But Taco versus Burritos, if you want a little card game, it's suitable for sort of 7-8 year olds upwards. It takes about 15 minutes to play. That's good fun. Whenever I had a laugh with that. Greg, I'm going to start now talking about some of this stuff. I'm sorry.
Some of this stuff?
Yes. So I've thoroughly enjoyed my Naked Wines. And I've went through my first six bottles that I got, the cheapy deal. And then I ordered a case of 12. I got an extra one. It was 13 Baker's Dozen. And that was about a month ago. And we're through all of those. And a week or so ago, I ordered another batch of their best favourite whites. And got a nice bottle of red with that as well this time. And it arrived yesterday, just in time. We were down there last bottle. Naked Wines is super. I mean, the 13 bottles have cost £74 because I'm seen as a what they call an angel. So a business, helping wineries and get a bit of extra funds up front. So, yeah. And the wines have been spectacular. So I would thoroughly recommend giving a Naked Wines a go. I think it's 6 bottles for £29 or something like that is their first initial deal with free postage in the UK. And if you want to do that, give me a shout. If you want to try it, give me a shout because I think I can get more money off and get me money off too. The other thing was these all arrived yesterday. And the other thing that arrived and I ordered a while back was a lovely bottle of rum. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I don't think I'm giving away anything else here. Okay, yeah. So this is a bottle of Doopy Share Spiced Caribbean Rum. I've been going through lots of these of late. This one here is with pineapple and cola nut and Caribbean spices. Nice. I'm having my first glass of it now as we speak, and it is really nice.
Just on the rocks?
Just on the rocks. Yeah, nothing in it. Yeah, why would you do that? And it came with, on the screen, these two, a nice extra, didn't know, little cocktail, like they're little metal or aluminium, gold cups.
Yeah.
And they came with those in the box. And I just thought, that's a nice thing. I didn't know they were coming. And that's lovely for the people to do that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's nice. Yeah. The other stuff that I've been really into is Michael Caine. I mentioned I'm listening to Michael Caine's autobiography last week, and he's brilliant at narrating the autobiography. Really good, really interesting life. Some really good stuff that can be applied not just to acting, but life in general. And he seems to be a very straight up sort of fella. So I've been going through. I'm a big fan of the original Italian Job. Didn't realise it was 1969. That was the year I was born. Anyway, been on the cross trainer watching Michael Caine. I watched, going through some of the older stuff they've done that I haven't seen, the Ypres File, which was really the first big movie that he'd done. Really big part, main role in it. And it's well worth watching, the Ypres File. It's sort of he's James Bond, but like, a common sort of bloke, nothing fancy, no fancy gadgets. So he's like an acoustic version of James Bond in this movie. So it's the Ypres File. I'd recommend that for you. And the final thing that I want to mention is this week is I made my own California rolls sushi. So a while back, I had ordered this thing called a sushi bazooka. And I posted it up in their WhatsApp group. And it looks like a very rude Swedish penis enlarging tool. So it's been in the cupboard. And I ordered
it does.
It does. And I ordered it. You'll see it in about a month's time, Pete. Don't worry. You'll get there eventually. I'm sorry. So I ordered the nori, the seaweed paper. I ordered ages ago. I ordered proper soy. I ordered ginger and wasabi. And proper sushi rice, which is actually very different than ordinary rice that you have in a curry. So I don't know what it was, just decided the other day that I was going to do it, and I made my first batch. I made some more yesterday. And the way this bazooka, sushi bazooka, the way it works is a bit, it looks like a cock gun. You put it, the cock, you call it in America. The grout. We call it for grout. You know, grout, Pete, in between your tiles?
Yeah,
like one of those guns.
Grout and cock are two different things, for the record.
just for the record.
Okay, all right. Sticky stuff. It's the idea.
The sticky stuff.
Yeah.
So, getting worse, Robin. It's getting worse.
Okay, so this thing, so that's a solid tube, but this cock, this bazooka opens up like this here, half and half. Okay? And you fill the two sides of your half and half with this cooked cold rice after you've cooked it. And then there's a bar that goes into the middle and you just tamp it into the middle, and then you lay down your peppers or your whatever you want to put into it. I mean, today mine was some red pepper, some yellow pepper, and some Parma ham, of all the weird and wonderful things, just to be a bit different. And the first ones I made were the same idea, but with some smoked salmon in them. And so then you just close up the bazooka, you turn the top of your pump, like in your cock gun, you turn it to tighten it up, and there's a lid at the end, and then you push it, and it comes out like a really lovely jobby. You know, like the ones that come out really nice some days, they just come out and pinch off clean. It comes just like there, and you just put it on your nori roll. And now, usually when they do the sushi, you have this little, it's like a placemat, like a bamboo placemat that you're very clever with your rice, and you roll it and tighten it, where that takes that all away. So when your big jobby comes out onto your seaweed, then you just roll it up nice and tight, wet the end of it like a stamp, and seal it up, and then put it in the fridge for a while, and then slice it up, and away you go. Dip it into your soya with a bit of wasabi and some ginger. Fantastic. And it's just a lovely feeling doing it yourself. It is nice, and it's healthy enough. Yes, it's carby, but you know, it's lovely. So I had some for lunch today. I'll have some for lunch tomorrow.
Nice.
Fabulous. Sushi. I'm the man.
Sushi's good.
Sushi, rum, wine, and Michael Caine. My name is Michael Caine.
Let's continue on the alcohol front. I'm going to start backwards going forwards. Margaritas. We made fresh watermelon margaritas last night. They were so good. Cut up fresh watermelon, toss it into a blender, ice, tequila, sweet and sour mix, blended it all up, throw a little bit of whipped cream in to help some sweetness out of it. Fantastic. That is a recipe for a good summer drink.
I must make some.
Let's see. So again, working backwards. So I have gotten a new set of resistance bands, and I wanted to actually get a second set. So I wouldn't have to, because one of the things about resistance bands, especially when you get the kind that I'm getting, they have basically kind of the eye hooks that you can quickly attach or detach the bands. They have like multiple bands on them, so you can change the weight resistance. And so I wanted to get a multiple set so I wouldn't have to keep constantly changing them in and out. And I saw on Amazon a similar brand, but not the exact same brand I got. But I thought, okay, this is all just companies that are making the same thing, but putting their own brand on it. They're the exact same bands because they looked like they were identical. So I just said, well, I'm going to get the ones that are only $29, not the ones that are $49, and it'll be fine.
Where are they from?
Got them in. The ones that I liked are called What A Fit brand.
Mm-hmm.
These other ones, I don't remember the name of them, but they were not the same. I was shocked. I was disappointed. So I'm returning those, going to get the more expensive ones because they were actually different lengths. So you can't have different lengths when it comes to resistant bands. That is problematic.
Pennywise, pound foolish. So, yeah. That's the way it goes, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then, much to my happiness, I found that there was a new Expeditionary Force book called Mavericks Free Fall.
Mm-hmm.
I was just okay with the first Mavericks book, so I'm curious as to if I'm going to like this one or not, but I just started it.
I'm halfway through. I've parked it for Michael Caine.
Okay.
I miss that stupid tin can. So the stupid tin can aren't
that's,
in this.
That's kind of...
Yeah, and the Mavericks...
I thought I might as well.
And the Mavericks know nothing about the tin can because it's not in their timeline. You know, that was, you know... So Barney had left the planet. But, you know, they're good. They're good books. The characters in them... I think this is better. Oh, I have parked it. I have parked it for a while with Michael Caine.
Okay.
And the book that Eric had recommended to me. Which
it's okay,
is
Joe.
Going.
It's okay, Joe.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So.
All right. Yeah. No, we don't talk about that book.
No, we don't. Good.
Last thing I want to talk about. Last thing I just want to talk about, and this is just some, you know, kind of, I've struggled with the whole TV thing.
TV.
In that, I've wanted to not watch the news. There's not a lot of new content coming out outside of, like, Netflix has been pretty good about new content. But I, you know, I have just been trying to find something to kind of keep me away from everything. And I started watching the Titan Games. This is the new Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, his competition show. And I just love these shows. It's a strength competition. It is about endurance, strength, power, all that good stuff. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it. It has been the right medicine through all of this time. Can I tell you a show not to watch?
Okay.
I begrudgingly got, say, 3/4 of the way through the new Rambo movie, Rambo Last Blood.
Okay.
I was really hoping, because I saw the Creed movies, and I really liked the Creed movies. I thought, you know what? It's a bit of the remaking of Rocky, but it was done pretty well. So it wasn't it didn't feel, you know, too placating. It just, you know, they were good and they were well acted. Rambo Last Blood just feels like a movie they made to just they were going to show as much gore as they possibly could, because it is horrifically gory at times. It's just like, holy crap. I don't know, there was much more purpose to it.
I think the last couple of Rambo movies were kind of like that, you know.
I was really hoping this was maybe gonna be like a, hey, you know what, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna do a good Rambo movie, because I liked the first Rambo. Rambo 1 was great. And then
watched it not so long ago.
From there you were chasing the tail of Rambo and they just got progressively worse. But I thought, okay, maybe Sylvester Stallone has seen the light. You know, Creed was good. He was behind that. Maybe, just maybe, Rambo Last Blood is going to be... No, it is not good at all. It's bad. It's really bad. Avoid it at all costs. Unless you're really hard up and you just need to see a lot of blood and mayhem, then outside of watching the news, this is your next best bet. All right. Let's talk games.
Oh, okay. Games. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? I want to talk about games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
There we go.
All right. Well, there we have it. You're one pathetic loser. Pete, you are one pathetic loser. Let's talk about your game that you play. Just the game. The only game, according to the internet's, depending on which side you fall on, either the best game of this generation, possibly ever, or a complete and utter train wreck, horrible game. So what side of the fence does this game fall on for you, Pete? And I haven't even said what game it is yet.
Can I just ask, who has said the latter?
Oh my God. There is outrage over this game. A lot of people feel that the story was broken, that they didn't the direction of the narrative was not justified. They never what's the right word I'm looking for here? In a sense, they've introduced new characters that we're supposed to care about that you don't care about. They never give you the moment to care about them, and they do a lot of story tropes within the narrative of this game that, according to some, and this is not me, this is the internet rage. If you look at the Metacritic user score on this game, you will see the outrage. There's a lot of people also that were angered by what they felt were some social justice warrior elements that were input into this game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, look, I think it's a good enough story.
It's got 94 Metacritic.
No, not Metacritic users. In fact, we have news about this for this very reason later in this episode. So we'll talk more about this.
Well, okay, all right. Well, I've not searched online.
Yes,
and you're smart for that. Because I just didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah, Pete, what game is this, by the way?
It's Last of Us Part 2.
Thank you.
Right. Yes. Okay. So for me, listening to all of that about people just slating this game, didn't like the narrative or whatever, right? I'd be happy to have them line up in the street and I'll give them all a bitch slap. Because this game, to me, is just the best game I've played in, well, I don't know, 10 years. It's a fucking phenomenal game.
Now, Pete, just to clarify, you had just finished the first one not so long ago. Isn't that right?
Yeah, the remastered version.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I enjoyed the game, and thanks to Mark for sending it me. And it was a remastered version, so they might have ironed out all of some of the issues that they had in the original first, which is it 2013 it was out, that? I found it a bit clunky, and I did say a couple of weeks ago that I found that the controls were at the start a little bit similar, but I can't praise this game enough. It's the story is just phenomenal. The way you transition between cinematic scenes to actual gameplay is slick. Throughout the whole, it took me 32 hours altogether I put into it. I played it on moderate difficulty, so I had a little bit of a challenge. I just didn't want to go all story bound. I just wanted a bit of a challenge as well. And you know, I died a lot in some parts of the game, and I felt like it was perfect. It was so good. You think that you're gonna head one way, one direction in the game. I mean, Greg, you've seen the story. You think you're gonna head one way, and then it just flips and just completely throws you into a different direction. And then all of a sudden you think, okay, all right, this is where it's gonna go. And it just turns again. When I got to what I thought was the end of the game, there was another 6 hours on top of it. It's just the stories is exciting. I love the gameplay. I suppose the enemies in it aren't too different, but I don't mind that because it doesn't follow too far after the original story anyway. So it was nice to see the clickers. They still scare the shit out of you. There's plenty of them, and I'm not really one to jump. I watched horror films as a young teenager, and I've seen so many and played lots of Resident Evil and, you know, Silent Hill, and I'm not one for jump scares. And I jumped about 3 times in this game. It got me. It got me 3 times, and it really shit me up. And it was just exciting. It really brought back that feeling that I got when I played Resident Evil 2. I mean, you know, they're completely different stories, but it was just how it gripped me. It was just brilliant. It was brilliant. It's not hard to find the collectibles as long as you take your time. Going back to all the stats, there's hidden ones which, you know, I've clearly not found, but I'm one to take my time through these type of games. I feel as though when you're limited with ammo and supplies, the best thing to do is to search around before you move into the next area. And I think you can kind of tell when your shit's going to go down. There's a whole array of supplies that you all of a sudden pick up, and you know then as you're getting further into the game that shit's going to go down. And it really does, you know, when you start getting into the basement with the ambulance that you need to get to, Greg. Did you see that? He's laughing.
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Yes. No, I did. I did see that. Yes.
Yeah. Right. It just scares the shit out of me. It scared the shit out of me, that dude. It was just real, real good. It's an intense game. The cinematic scenes, I thought that was good.
Real quickly. So I think part of the criticism, and what I will say is this: if you try to critique the story of this game for on the same level of a movie, it doesn't earn its stripes.
Okay,
it won't. But that's because it is a video game story, and I think that is it's unfair to try and critique this from a movie level, if you will.
Yeah.
Because you know you have
it, okay. Is it fair to say that this is the best video game story there ever has ever been?
No, I don't think that's fair to say. I think there have been better.
Come on, let's get your thing ahead on again.
I love Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
I love that. I love the story of it. But I got so gripped into this game. This is, I would say, on par, if not better.
Right.
And that's me.
Yes, that is you. Look, I think Red Dead Redemption might be probably Red Dead Redemption 2 might be my favorite video game story ever told.
I'd say one.
Yeah. I think this is a good story. It's a very good story. I think it misses the mark in a couple spots in terms of its justifications, or quite honestly, maybe this is the thing is they're doing some things in the story because it's going to also support some of the things they want to do from the game mechanics perspective. And I think that's where people took exception. And I'm trying to talk around things, so apologies to anybody listening that's why don't you just fucking say it? I don't want to spoil anything. Look, if you like this series, you are likely going to really love this game. And I don't think that you can discount the sheer quality of what Naughty Dog did here. This is an amazing achievement from a gameplay, game graphical standpoint for this generation. It stands out. It is head and shoulders above almost everything else that's been put out this generation. So,
do you think that in the story, because this is what it's all about, because it looks great, but it doesn't look the best in the world ever, you know, but it looks really, really, really good. It does. But did they shoehorn stuff in because of the way things are at the moment? You know, the way the world is changing? Did it feel like it was... You know, like, I don't know, social justice. No, forgive me, nothing wrong with people being gay or a lesbian or whatever it may be. I mean, was that forced into the story more? Or,
well, first of all, did it feel awkward
at any stage, Pete?
So, real quickly, they talk about Abby. Pete. I don't know, but I'm gonna interject here. They talk about Abby being potentially transgender. I don't think it's ever confirmed in the game.
Okay.
In terms of what her background is. So I think there is a leap by a lot of social justice warrior people saying that that's what they're trying to do here. I don't think that's the case at all. I think if anything, the game kind of goes out of its way to really kind of point towards the fact that maybe that's not the case, that she is naturally a girl.
Surely Naughty Dog at E3, was it last year or the year before, they showed that bit in the tent or the church hall where the two girls were at a dance and they were all smoochy together. Yeah, so they very much led the land for that. Okay.
That's a different set of characters.
I just think it's a very very interesting progression in storytelling in video games. I think it's kind of cool, actually.
But the thing is, in life, it happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
One of those things. Yeah. And that situation, it happened. It was just something that was part of the story. I don't think it was forced at all. It was just a part of the story.
Good. It was us in Amsterdam, Pete. It just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. So it touches on that in several parts of the game, and it has to tie different things that are unknown. It has to tie them all up. So it does go back to that dance and blah blah blah. Anyway, this I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I let me just say this, and I will jump off this at this point. Great game. I openly rooted for Ellie to not win, if that makes sense.
Okay.
What the second half of the game for me?
You're still spoiling this now.
No, I'm not saying anything more. Anyway, yeah, to me, there were some moves they made, and I think they could have gone a very different direction with the story, and I think the narrative should have been different for the overall story. That's my take on the world that they're portraying to us. But again, I think we need to have a spoiler cast where we can talk about this openly and freely, and we'll just go at it, Pete. We'll just rock and sock 'em.
Well, this is the thing. There's a few levels of this game, I think, there's levels of this game that you can't talk about on the podcast without spoiling anything. It's just impossible. But I will say that on this game, you get to play as different characters. You get different weapon ranges, and you get to experience, I suppose, you know, a different level of gameplay because you're playing as a different character. And it's great, man. This game is shit hot. And, you know, I'm never one to I suppose, polish a turd when it comes to games. I know Stu on the Veteran Gamers has recommended that pigeon game, and you know, all different types of stuff that have come up, and you know, he's been slated. Listen, this is just something else. This game, I love it. It's if anything, I love it on par as Red Dead Redemption 2. Or the whole story. I was glad I was introduced to it. I don't really play PlayStation that much. And Robin, if you want to play it, I'll send it you if you want before I trade it in. And you could, if you've played number one, and you could play this. I'd send it you just to wait on the trade.
That's very generous. Show
you, but I guarantee that it's so good. You know, it's brilliant, man. It's a classic game. So if you're into survival horror, post-apocalyptic, and You like the Walking Dead series, you've got to pick up this story, part one and part two. It's just, I think it's phenomenal. I mean, the PlayStation.
I think that is fair. I think that is fair.
The PlayStation was on its ass, man. It was whirring like a plane. It was dying. I've not got a PlayStation Pro. It's just a, you know, you're running the build PlayStation 4, and it was the fan at one point I thought was going to take off, but it glitched twice.
Speaking of glitching, I'm watching Robin's pictures of us.
Your connection the sucks, donkey dick at the moment.
the auto saves are pretty frequent. I found the game glitched twice on me. One was when I was towards the hospital. For some reason I jumped. No, I didn't. I looked at this one building and I thought, oh, I could just drop off this edge and land onto this part of a house that I could see. It was a bit of a drop, but as I got closer to it and I ran off, it was a complete cliff drop and I should have just jumped. And every time the game restarted, it was restarting and I was just dying. I just heard me screaming every single time. So I had to go back. I think it was 16 minutes of gameplay. So that wasn't too bad, but it could have been a lot worse. And there was further on in the game, I was with, I can't remember their names now. It's when you're on the way to the village, Greg, on the island. Do you know where I'm on about? Mm-hmm, and there's mm-hmm. two children. Right. So yeah. I was with them and there was a cinematic scene. And towards the end of that, then she opened the door and she says, right, we need to go through this way. And she opened the door. And I couldn't go in, so I had to replay the last like 10 minutes, I think it was. But the autosaves are not too bad. It glitched twice on me, and in 32 or whatever hours gameplay it was, I thought, you know, that's not much at all. I was expecting, because the one thing I did Google was how long this game takes to complete. I don't know why I've got that thing always in my mind when I look at video games, but I Googled that, and it says 20 to 25 hours. So I got to 20 hours, and I was like, I really can't see this ending. I got to 24. I was like, oh, okay, this could end there. And then it just went on and on and on. And like I said, 32 hours. I played it pretty carefully. The one thing that's really, really good I liked in it was the safes. So there's some safes that you'll come across and some puzzle generated gameplay that you have to do. I think there was one safe that I didn't do out of all of them that I come across. I just didn't work it out. I should have just looked really uncheated.
No, again, that's one of those things where some people level criticism at that. I personally, I think it was fine because the game, there's going to be some light puzzles. I'll describe it this way. The light puzzles where there's clues to those puzzles that are going to be, in a sense, nearby. Yeah. They don't make you go out of your way to try and find them. I suppose in real life, yes, that's probably not going to be the real case in the majority of those situations if you came across them. But for the game, it's totally fine. It makes it fun. I think they were light enough, but they were different.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, the puzzles in Resident Evil, Resident Evil 2, when that first came out, and you were in that house, I think some of those puzzles were pretty tough compared to the safe combination working, you know?
Yeah, look, this is the thing. You might in life come across one situation where the password has been written on a sticky note sitting next to a computer, and then the safe is just next to you to crack it open.
Yeah.
That's going to happen very rare in life, right?
Yeah.
So in this game, that's kind of how they handle a lot of it, is you're going to find those kind of clues somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's gameplay. It's, you know, don't make it overly tough. Make it accessible. Make it something that you're not going to have to, you know, backtrack, you know, five episodes back because you finally found the safe, you know, code, 3 hours after you passed by the safe.
Yeah.
That's not fun. So I think that's all perfectly fine. And I agree with you. I think it's a cool little element they added into it.
I mean, you had to explore you really had to explore to find them. And to me, where the safes were where people were creating bases. There was a group of people. So at some point in that base, you'd need someone with a note or something, a device that tells you what the password is to that safe, just as a backup. So
would they really? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm not even going to say anything. We'll leave it at that.
The game's shit art. I'll give it 10 out of 10.
It is.
And anybody who says different, like I said, I'd be happy to bitch slap him because it's...
Pete will fight you. Pete is openly saying he will fight you in the streets or in the pool,
Preferably in the pool, yeah. I'll do it. Yes. Yeah, swim off.
Cool.
All right. Yes, we're done talking about Last of Us 2. Sorry, Hardly Dan. We went on a little bit longer, but we're done. Robin.
Yes.
Let's talk about your fractured butthole.
Oh, no, we're not. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's not what I was hoping you were going to say, but okay. Let's talk about the fractured butthole. Let me just get that going right now. Here we go. Fractured butthole. Okay. So I bought this donkeys ago. Okay. The fractured butthole. Oh, damn it. That's wrong.
Yes.
And the fractured butthole is the sequel to the first South Park game. Now, the first South Park game and I had a strange relationship. I started to play it and... damn it, fucking cameras. Excuse me, audio listeners. It's nothing to do with these guys. Yous are okay. Yous are fine. Yous are lovely people. But video users, they've lost Greg. And then when he comes back onto the screen, all the names and everything will be mixed up again. You feel me, Mark, yeah. Don't you? You feel me? There he goes. Now, Greg is now the legit chinny once again. Anyway... I'll edit that out. No, and okay. So the Last of Us. It looks not the Last of Us. Jesus Christ, rum. South Park.
Fractured butthole.
South Park.
Yes.
The fractured butthole. It looks like a cartoon from the last. Jesus, from this game.
South Park.
Thank you. It looks like that's South Park. It really does. It looks like you're in the cartoon. Now, the first one I went to start playing it, and I played it for maybe half an hour, 3/4 an hour, and really didn't get on with it. And I went away, and then people started to talk about it, and I came back to it, and I ended up absolutely loving it. The humor, you can imagine, is South Park-esque. And this is just a... it could be the same game, but they've tweaked things. The combat style is very not me. The combat style is turn-based. So you decide on your move, you thump a guy, you fart on a guy, you puke on a guy, you do all that sort of stuff, and then they take their turn and your numbers go down, and whoever has the most numbers at the end wins the combat thing. So, which is kind of cool, because some of the ways you kill people are so crazy. You go into people's houses, you dig in through drawers, you pick up stuff that you can sell to upgrade your characters. You find the toilet, you go in the toilet, and you have to use your left thumbstick and your right thumbstick just to find the right place to pinch it off. Yeah, lots of silly sub-games like that. And in this game, where they are now in they're sort of superheroes once again, all the little characters that you know and love, and you're the king, you're the new guy, and away you go. And so far, it's more of the same, and I'm sure I love it. I don't know why I left it so long to play it, but I'm getting well stuck into it. So it's fun and it's slick and it's perfect, and it just looks like you're in the cartoon.
It's got great humor too. I mean, South Park is just—it's a funny, funny IP.
And irreverent, so, yeah. And I can laugh at ourselves and how stupid we're all being right now. And I think maybe I needed that sort of humor in my life at the moment.
Speaking of that kind of humor, by the way, I watched Ricky Gervais last night. His latest was it Inhuman? I think is his latest comedy bit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so good stuff.
Yeah, well,
I just love the fact that make fun and everything.
And
it's
that,
okay.
And definitely, as I said last week, watch Jim Jefferies, and it's not called Inhuman, it's called Irreverent, or it's kind of like, it's all about cancel humor, and definitely right. Very, very, very funny.
Isn't that Intolerable?
Intolerant. So it was very, very good too. Yeah. So yeah, that sort of thing is good. We catch ourselves on for how stupid and serious we're all being right now, you know. So yeah, South Park. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Excellent.
What next?
Well, you tell me, Robert. Would you like me to go into some of my games? You want to go back to?
Hey, you do that. Yeah, I'll do one of yours.
All right. I will go left to right for you to keep it easy for you to figure out. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I have jumped back into this. I've been playing a ton of it. I do like this game a lot. I love the direction they're taking the Assassin's Creed series. It's becoming more of an RPG. It's becoming less of the original Assassin's Creed, which I honestly kind of got tired of that model. Pretty quick, the stealth assassin, you climb up, you one hit kill him, and then you're basically trying to run away and blend with the crowds. I dig. Yes, Robin,
is this the first new one or the second new one?
This is the second new one.
Okay,
so there's Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay,
then they made Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is set in the Greek Spartan setting. So it dives more into the mythology.
Fight Medusa. I'm sorry. I have to do it. I have to. It's building up inside me. God, when you said Romans.
And?
I am Sparta! Thank you. Sorry, it's out of my system now.
No, and you will feel like that in this game. Okay. It's good. It's good. I do like playing the female character in this because I think she was better voice acted than the male character.
I know. Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily jive with the times, but that's okay. Suspension disbelief. It's good.
What's your pronoun then?
Say it again.
What would your pronoun be then?
That's a good question. Huh. You're Mythios. You're Mythios. It's non-gender, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
This gives me hope for Valhalla. However, I am starting to get worried with Ubisoft. And, you know, if we think about everything that they announced, all of their big tentpole games from this last Ubisoft Direct they did, they're all sequels. Assassin's Creed Valhalla is, I think, like the seventh or eighth game in that series. You had Watch Dogs Legion, which is the third game in the series. And then we had...
You see, I kind of think you're absolutely right here, Greg, because I have the first new one to play yet. I haven't even went to the second new one. And I kind of... I've left it. I mean, the last big one that I played was the one in London, which I thoroughly enjoyed and left it for quite a while. And I love the Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood.
Right.
And the one with the boats, the pirates, which is Brill, mm-hmm. Black Flag. But they are more and more of the same. I guess they start to look a bit better and they're more RPG-ish. But
right.
it just seems so big and so epic. And it's like you, Greg. It's so big, I don't want to tackle it. It's mammoth and strong and fabulous, but there's just so much to do. You know, so.
I am excited for the Valhalla series, though.
Yeah.
I like the, again, you know, the notion of playing a Vikings game is absolutely cool, and I'm excited for that. Yeah. I am concerned it's going to feel like I'm playing Odyssey in a Viking skin. So that's my concern with these games, is that they're not necessarily doing a whole lot different. They're just tweaking them and giving him a new setting, which is fine, but after a while it does start to feel redundant. And you know, Far Cry 6 was the other big game they announced. I'm getting fatigue. I want them to start coming out with some new IP.
Yeah, but it's also good for the people who realized Assassin's Creed 2 that this is just going to be the same old thing over and over. And right. I've not played any. So until Valhalla comes out, it will be pretty good because I've not played any of the other series.
Fair play. Fair play.
Wait till they realize that all the Vikings did was rape and pillage. Yeah, okay.
No, that is not going to be the narrative, Robin. They are good people.
Yeah, they're going to be called, call them Vikings. They're going to call them, what's the spur name that's going around at the moment? They could maybe call them Redskins or something like that. I have no idea. They could call them something. Yeah, not Vikings. Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense.
Hey, you know, we can get that game, though. That's a game they could make. They could make, although they did. Actually, if you think about it, that was Assassin's Creed 3. You played as a native Indian, although you were mixed. I think you were a mixed race, if I remember correctly. So you were part like American, part Native American Indian. So you were kind of shunned on all fronts. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it's great. It's good. Enjoying it thoroughly. And one thing that was really throwing me off, so they introduced some new gameplay mechanics into it that there are these big battle scenes where you, in a sense, are kind of taking part in a large-scale war or battle. And so the very first one I was taking part in, I was like, just getting my ass handed to me, left and right. You're way ahead of me, Robin. I'm not ready to talk about that game yet. So you get into these big battles, and there are a lot of mercenaries that are for hire in the game that you also get side quests to kill. And there was one particular mercenary that was basically kind of my level, but I was getting into this big battle. I'm fighting in the battle, and then about three quarters of the way through the battle, then the mercenary would suddenly see me. He would come after me, and then he would just basically kill me. And so I must have tried beating this battle probably six times, couldn't do it. And I was just finally just fed up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to battle this out yet. I'm going to grind a little bit. And then I made the conscious choice to actually go after that mercenary and kill him outside of this battle. I did that and actually ended up killing the next mercenary above him because they happened to both be in the same area at the same time. So when I went back to that battle, obviously he was no longer in the battle, so it actually made the battle easier, and it actually was able to finish it out in one play. So I liked that little element that, you know, think about how you approach the battle, try and kill your enemy, weaken them. It's all part of the game mechanics. I wasn't really paying attention to it, but the weakening of your enemy is important for those battles to win them. Okay, Phoenix Point. Now we can get there, Robin. Sorry. Phoenix Point. This is basically from the original creators of XCOM. It's out on Game Pass for PC. And
on a scale of 1 to 10.
I fired it up. I was kind of started playing it a little bit ago, and then I stopped. Got sidetracked with other games. And I fired it up just this past week, and I have just absolutely been enjoying it. If you like XCOM, turn-based XCOM 2, turn-based.
Really does look like
you will dig Phoenix Point. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it's absolutely XCOM. So, turn-based squad strategy. You have different vehicles that you can employ, as opposed to in the original, it was just kind of you had your airship to take your squad to and from. And you know, and they're different enemies, obviously, because it's not the same game. But all of the mechanics feel very familiar. And they handle resources a little bit different, but you're still building up your bases. You're still doing all of the kind of the, I mean, it could have just been, it, they could have named this Phoenix Point XCOM clone, and I think that would have been absolutely perfectly fine. It's giving me my turn-based strategy fix that I wanted. I can recommend it. Highly recommend it. If you have Game Pass PC, it's there for free, so play it. Robin, let's talk about Cube 2 real quick.
We've all played Portal, yes?
Right, yes.
This is Portal without portals, yeah? It looks like Portal. The style is kind of the same as Portal. You don't have Wheatley, your little robot, but you do have a computer voice in there. The humor isn't quite as good. It does look classy and wonderful. It's taken me about 7 or 8 hours to complete the little bugger. I have to kind of think the last hour I was kind of ready. It's one of those games that makes you feel very, very clever, a bit like Portal, you know, when you work out the solution. But towards the end, the puzzles in it were getting really friggin' annoying, almost too obscure, even for my massive intellect. You know, I found them quite tricky. They weren't just obvious, they just were ridiculous. Like, you had to accidentally grab onto an inch of a ledge, and there's no way humanly that you would ever have worked that out yourself. But it's pretty classy, it's good fun. It took me, as I said, about 8 hours with my small brain pan. But yeah, it's on Game Pass, that fantastic thing. I would say go play Cube 2. It's atmospheric, it's good, it looks fantastic. There's no glitches in it, doesn't seem to be any problems with the look of it or any issues that I never got caught.
That's
cool. But it is very, very cool. So yeah, give it a whiz. If you like Portal and you fancy a bit of Portal stuff, I played the first one to completion, and this one's really good too. It's good. This is quite a good little story going on in it. Meaningless, of course, but it's decent. It's Portal. Yeah, right. Portal without portals.
Game Pass again, eh?
Yeah, Game Pass is freaking awesome.
Yeah, that'll be another thing that we cover in the news. Cube 2. Highly recommend. Two. All right, yes. There we go. I have to check that out. I have not actually checked out either of the Cube games, so that'll be on my list. Last game to talk about, Fallout 76.
Ooh.
Another game that came to Game Pass. And this is a game that, honestly, it got just panned hard when it first launched, and slowly but surely Bethesda has been, in a sense, kind of adding back in everything that people liked about the Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 games that they didn't have in Fallout. So things like NPC characters, they were non-existent in Fallout 76 when it first launched. The only characters in the world were other human characters, or player-controlled characters, I should say. And they didn't have any NPCs, and then people basically hated that. So they have slowly but surely been working to get this game back to being a Fallout game. And I'm really happy to say, on the most basic levels, they have succeeded. This is the Fallout 76 I think everybody kind of hoped it was going to be when it first launched. That being said, I hate Fallout 76. And the reason why I hate this game is because it is multiplayer. It's because it is, in a sense, a MMO game where as soon as you go into the game, you are in a world setting with other players.
Right.
And there is nothing that breaks immersion more as you are wandering through the wasteland than having, you know, Joe 912593967 come up and, you know, stand in your face and try and get in your face saying, you know, join me. And all you want to do is go explore the Fallout universe they've created here. Looks fantastic. It's got all of the right things. I absolutely was enjoying my time up until every time I saw another human character. And they just kind of ruin it. And so, yeah, it makes me just want to go back and play Fallout 4.
Oh,
well, that's the sad.
I think my opinion with this is they should have just got it right in the first place. They have done with 3. They have done with 4. 4 was great. 4 was amazing.
They wanted to make this universe that they thought we can basically kind of capitalize and monetize it. Make it the next World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get that on one hand, but honestly, I don't think World of Warcraft is all that either. I actually kind of think it's a shit game. Anytime I have to deal with idiots running around trying to break the game, trying to break my immersion.
Dancing.
Dancing. And in this game, the other part of it is if you find loot, they can steal that loot in front of you. And it, so again, it's just one of those things where it's just like, you know what? Get out of my game. Get away from me. Get off my lawn. I'm Gary DeFelice already. So yeah, I was disappointed once I got into the real world of this game, and I was just like, I hate all these people. Get away from me, you know, 593 Odyssey. I don't want you in front of me. I don't want to play with you. I don't want you to help me. I want you to disappear. So yeah, that's the problem with Fallout 76 is it really does break the immersion of the universe they created once you start interacting with other players. Now, if they created a Fallout 76 that was like a GTA 5 role-playing game where they made everybody stay in character, maybe, just maybe, that might be interesting. But from the standpoint of it is as it is right now, because of how everybody acts within the game, you've got people jumping up and, you know, being just your typical, it's like Dead Destiny, you know, hub area. You got everybody standing around doing their little dancing, wanting to do their thing and be all cool. And I just couldn't be bothered. I'm just like, no, I want to just explore Fallout. I like the Fallout universe. Let me explore it. So apparently Bethesda has a game for me. It's called Fallout 4, and I will go back to playing that. So that's it.
Okay.
That is me. That's us done for the game stuff. Let's talk about news, because we do have quite a bit of news to talk about.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so first and foremost, I don't know if anybody else do this. I didn't know this. I was actually listening to another gaming podcast when I heard about this, so I had to go look it up. But Stadia had a Kinect event this past week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stadia Kinect, they talked about games coming to Stadia. So Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Cyberpunk, all will be on Stadia. They talked about some exclusives coming to Stadia in terms of Orcs Must Die 3, which is available now to Stadia Pro members. If you're a Stadia Pro member, you can play that game for free. Serious Sam 4 and Super Bomberman R Online also headlined as some of their bigger exclusive titles. And if you're wondering, what are those games? I don't blame you. I had to do a little bit of double take.
Really?
Yeah, not the most exciting of Kinects. The other thing they did announce that they have finally got up and running is the new Click and Play. So if you're on YouTube and you're watching somebody playing on Stadia and they're playing, say, PUBG, they can have that link to the game in the notes below, if you will, and you can click on that link and instantly go into your Stadia gaming moment and play PUBG or Orcs Must Die 3 or whatever game is on screen. So that was kind of the big reveal. I'm sorry, what was that?
They're so quick at doing things. I'm just not happy with this.
Okay,
service.
So look, you know what? Unfortunately, if you think back a year ago at E3, they had this big event and it was well razzmatazz. And this event is a lot more low key, and there wasn't really a lot of stuff that they talked about apart from a few new games. Nothing has changed about the hardware. Nothing has changed about what's going to happen with the service. So it's kind of odd. I don't know. Will it just fizzle?
It is odd.
Will it fizzle out? Because they're still throwing lots of money at it, you know?
No, they are. And they do have the new Baldur's Gate game coming out that is going to be exclusive to them for time. I think the problem is all of the games that they have as exclusives feel like they're going to come to other consoles at some point. And there's nothing that says this is only ever going to be on Stadia, and this is a reason to subscribe to Stadia Pro.
I think the problem is the idea of Stadia is friggin' fabulous. You know, you just switch it on, away you go. Dump. Unfortunately, the reality is it's not that. Even with you know, Allmark's fault, AMF. Even with his stupid super duper connection, he can't get it to work really well consistently. So if he can't, what hope do I have?
I think this falls back to what you said before, though. Either one of you said it. I can't remember who it was now, but
it was me.
I think they're just in for the slow run. They're eventually gonna flourish. But
yeah, I'll take the credit. Yeah, it was me. Probably me. Yeah, I'll take the credit.
Well, I mean, they are playing the long game. The problem is Google's not known for playing the long game very well. No. They tend to at some point just pull the plug on things. So right now they're doing what they can. Exclusive content is what they need, but it needs to be exclusive coming from Stadia as opposed to coming from third-party developers where you know eventually it's going to make its way to other systems.
Yeah.
Because that's and the other thing, man, this Kinect felt like it was a Stadia Pro commercial because all throughout it, they kept reiterating, you don't have to buy hardware to play on Stadia Pro. You don't have to buy hardware. And that's their selling point, and I get it. But at some point, that narrative needs to be, we've put out these great games, and you can only play them on Stadia Pro.
Yeah.
And so I think they just have to get to that point. If they could make it through another half a year, I think they get there. And then it's just a matter of how quickly does this uptick, or does it uptick at all? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. But the important thing to note is Stadia does have a constant stream of income coming from Robin Tate.
Yes. Get it right, boys. Get it right. I'm with you. You know, I'm with you.
Yep.
I want it to work.
They have my free account. That's all I'll give them right now. The Microsoft event is set for July 23rd. They have confirmed it will stream in 1080p, 60 frames a second. But there will be a restream available at 4K, 30 frames per second afterwards. So they just want to make sure during the live event it didn't have any issues from a streaming perspective. That's why they're not doing it in 4K. Yeah, okay. Phil Spencer also reiterated first party games will be cross-generational for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So from a first party perspective, games like Halo, Forza, those are all going to play on your Xbox One X's, your Xbox One S's, as well as the next generation. But he did say they are not prohibiting third-party devs from making Series X-only games. And the examples that you can see, at least right now, Scorn and The Medium are both only on Series X. They're not coming to Xbox One X. They're not coming to Xbox One S. So
Scorn, that. Scorn and Medium are made by whom?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
Okay.
I want to say Bloober Team is one of them.
All right. So if I was making those games now, I go, Fair Play to you, good lads, because they've created a unique little corner of the market for themselves, and they can probably sell more doing this. But could you ever see Call of Duty doing this, or GTA, or Red Dead, or any of the big, big titles just doing that?
Not for the first year or two.
But it's a good marketing point for these guys if they're a smaller company. Right. I'm making an assumption they're smaller.
And I think the important thing that Phil was trying to point out, because there is this narrative of, Xbox is going to hold next generation back because they're not letting developers make games for next generation. So they wanted to address that narrative, saying that we're not forcing anybody in from a third-party perspective. They can do what they want to do. You want to make only for Series X? Go for it. You want to make it cross-generational? Go for it. The reality is, I think almost all the games, especially in the first year coming out on whichever system, are likely going to be games that probably could be ported onto other systems. Just download, down-resing, slowing down, cutting the frame rates. There's a lot of ways using lower quality textures, a lot of ways in which developers can make games for lower tiered hardware.
Doesn't this feel like a little bit like this is how you play secondhand games?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Because the Sony policy isn't this at all. So, if
right.
comes
Sony. Out of, hmm. And this is just different approaches, right? Microsoft is a software services company. They are vested in getting you into their ecosystem. Sony is a hardware company. They are very vested in getting you to buy their hardware box because they feel like that will get you into their ecosystem and keep you there, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Nintendo falls into kind of the latter as well. Nintendo very much wants to sell you their device. So it's very different approaches. We'll see. We'll see how that comes out.
Just to confirm, Medium is made by Bloober Team. And they're Polish-based makers of Blair Witch and Observer and Layers of Fear. And Scorn is developed by EBB or EBB Software.
Okay.
There we go.
Excellent. So just other things to note on the news front. Xbox removed the 12-month Xbox Live Gold option from your purchasing.
Lots of moves going on with them at the moment.
Yeah, and rumors swirling. What does this possibly mean? Does this mean maybe they're going to get rid of Xbox Live as a paid subscription and just go to Game Pass? Maybe that could be, you know, we'll throw out some predictions and rumors.
I think the interesting things for you guys that have bought like 30 years in advance, what's going to happen with that? I'm sure they won't leave you high and dry. I really, you know, that's not their style. It'll get sorted out, but people are doing their nut in that they're going to get screwed.
So I can answer that actually for you, Robin.
Thank you.
So Microsoft actually, they did a beta program for this. When Game Pass Ultimate came out, they let you convert your Xbox Live Gold one for one to Game Pass Ultimate.
Which is what I have, yeah.
If they make the move of killing off Xbox Live Gold completely, I think they will just convert everybody into a one-to-one Game Pass Ultimate subscription and give you that benefit. And then give you the option of renewing with Game Pass Ultimate.
As a very clever man in the WhatsApp groups today, Richard Webster, you'll see this in a month or two, Pete. He was saying that there's far too many SKUs of Xbox Gold at the moment, and it's kind of lots of it's got lost. Like you know, you get your free Xbox Live Gold game every month. How many people actually go and search that out now if they have Game Pass? So you know, there's too many things. And Pete, you're shaking your head there. You know, you're maybe the same as me. Oh yeah, that's free, but yeah, there's so much other free stuff that you know. So they need to streamline that whole what is it gold or silver or ultimate or what is it, or you know, there's a bit of confusion there about what the offers are.
And further streamlining things, we're putting answers to things, I guess. So xCloud has been in beta for quite some time. They also made the announcement that Xbox Game Pass Ultimate will include Xbox streaming or xCloud streaming at no additional cost. It'll just be part of it.
Wow.
So when you're in
Benal Medina with your hanky on your head, you'll be able to take out your iPad on the beach Wi-Fi and play Halo, won't you?
Yeah.
It's flipping awesome. For no extra cost either. I mean, it's just part of it, just the way it should be.
Now they did say they have not ironed out completely how they're going to handle if somebody buys a game through their service. I think what they may end up trying to do, and this is just speculation on my part, but they may try and say if you buy the game from the Microsoft Store, you will also be able to, in a sense, stream through xCloud as long as you have a subscription. So.
We'll see.
That's all right. Yeah. We shall see. Also, more Xbox news, and this is actually the last piece of Xbox news, but they stopped production on the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. So that was commonly known as Xbox SAD. So this is a curious one, because if we think about it, the Xbox One S All Digital Edition, I kind of get it. Okay, that's the Xbox One S, which is a slightly better version of the Xbox One, the original. And, you know, the All Digital Edition had no disc drive, so they're discontinuing that. But then I thought, for sure, why would they discontinue the Xbox One X, but they are putting that aside? So,
you also don't know the stock numbers that are out there in the wild. Either, you know, I mean, what is the zombie apocalypse done to SEALs?
Here's my conspiracy.
Okay, let's go. I like where you're going with this, gray-haired man. Go.
Yeah, my conspiracy theory is Lockhart is real.
Yes.
Lockhart is going to take the place of the Xbox One X, but it'll be all digital. and they're keeping the Xbox One S around only from the standpoint of it has a 4K DVD player in it. Mm. So you can have your cheap 4K DVD player if you need it. And then the Xbox One Lockhart will be the lower tier next gen console.
Oh, I'm confused now.
Cheaper price.
Is there going to be three different versions of the new one?
No, there'll be two variations of the new one.
Uh-huh.
What, Series X.
So the
Lockhart.
So the slab that they found on the moon in 2001: yes. Space Odyssey. That's going to be one. Yeah.
Right.
And then there's
going to have a slightly smaller slab.
Okay, which is goes flat.
That'll be Lockhart.
Okay.
And then they're still going to have the Xbox One S.
Which is like an Aliens Colonial Marines sort of thing. Is that it? That one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
That's my conspiracy. I think they are setting this up. They're getting rid of the One X.
For mom and pop.
And I think...
Mom and the cheap version and the price point thing. The one in the middle, which they don't really care about. And then the big one that all the nerds and fanboys will go for. And the people with lots of money. Mm.
It'll be $500 for the One X. Sorry, the Series X.
Do they have ones for if you work on a submarine? Which one is that?
That will be the Series
Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, Nintendo Switch, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but I do think though $499, $349, and then the Xbox One S, that little dinky crappy version, is going to be $100.
Nah, fuck off.
Yeah.
No way. You're mad. Your gray hair.
That's my crazy prediction.
Your gray hair is turning you crazy, you old man, you. It's really, it's not attractive anymore. No, you won't buy a new Xbox for less than $299 at the beginning. You just won't.
No. The Xbox One S is not a new Xbox. That is... the original One S, the slim version of the Xbox One. It has a 4K drive in it.
Yeah.
That's the only redeeming quality of that console.
How much is it now? Is it
I want to say it's $179.
Oh, really? Okay.
MSRP on it's $179.
Oh, wow.
So I think they dropped that down further. And this way, if you get a Series X sorry, the
One
Lockhart.
S? Is that what you're saying? Xbox One S?
Yes. Yes.
Xbox One S, 1 terabyte console is $268 over here.
You can't find them anywhere. That's the other thing is all these consoles have been selling out like crazy during the pandemic. They a report I just read, they said that there has been more money spent this past year on gaming than like the previous decade.
Yeah,
it's been insane.
Yeah, it's actually having an effect on inflation in the UK. Actually, the gaming trade. I read an article today about it. So much is being spent on this stuff. It's putting inflation up, and the value of prices are going up because supply and demand and all that. So,
Wrapping things up. Metacritic made some changes.
Yeah,
because of the review bombing of The Last of Us 2.
Yep.
They have implemented a new policy that basically says we now will make users wait 36 hours before they're able to post a review. I don't know how this actually stops review bombing, to be perfectly frank.
I was reading this because I dropped in the bigger article as well there, Greg.
Right.
And I couldn't understand. I didn't look into it in more detail, but what is the definition of what a user is? Is that a new user? Or is that like me that has a Metacritic username and password? You know, is it 36 hours after the official release that the press gets? Is that, you know, it's 36 hours after the press put up their first reviews, or is it 36 hours after you actually join Metacritic to post a review yourself? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. So the timing of it is. So with Metacritic, and we probably should clarify this, so you have two users, if you will, on Metacritic. You have actual game journalists that post their review scores to Metacritic, or Metacritic pulls them, and that is the Metacritic score. Then there is a Metacritic user score, which is basically consumers like you and me who we create a Metacritic account, and then when a game comes out or there's a game listed, we can actually post a user review score. At least in the old system. So the game didn't even have to be out yet. You could actually post a user review score. And so they have changed that now to, on the user side, gamers, if you will, we are not able to post a review until 36 hours after the game's release date. So if the game comes out on July 20th, we won't be able to post a review until July 22nd.
I thought it said for all users.
All users, not journalists. Users. Users are those that have, you have to basically make an account on Metacritic to be able to post a review. So that's how they define that. Again, I don't think this actually does anything to change this situation of people review bombing. It's just going to now happen 36 hours after the game comes out. Yeah. And I think what they're trying to do is make publishers happy, because clearly publishers, you know, Naughty Dog, Sony, are not happy seeing users review bomb their game the day it comes out, because it doesn't look good. When it, you know, somebody goes to look at their Metacritic score, they see the users giving it a crappy score and the journalists giving it a great score. It's like, well, what's going on? So instead, they're going to delay that capability of the users to hopefully allow those that are coming to find out the Metacritic score to see it untarnished, if you will, from user scores. My personal thing is they should find a way, Metacritic that is, to actually get verified purchase. This is one of the things I like about Amazon. When Amazon does their reviews, you can see if they're a verified purchase or not. And if they're not a verified purchase, then you kind of take that review with a grain of salt, because you're talking about somebody that really didn't buy this. They just posted a review. So if they could figure out some way to do this, and I don't know how they do it, being honest, I don't know how they get there. But if they could, verified purchasing reviews of users would carry far more weight to me than just random users.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. So yeah. So that is the news. That's everything.
Very much so.
Yeah. Mark.
Hey, Pete.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
I think you should take on your best Kim persona.
Last night.
We have some new release games coming out, and I would love to hear Pete as Kim.
Yeah.
You know, do your best.
All righty then. Okay.
It doesn't get any better than that.
No. New releases between 19th and 25th of July. Rock of Ages 3, Make and Break, which is on pretty much everything. That comes out July 21st. Creaks, which is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch and PC. It comes out on July 22nd. Carrion, Mark, on Xbox One, Switch and PC, is out on July 23rd.
1 to 10.
Crysis Remastered is out on the Switch July 23rd. Dying Light Hell Raid on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC is out on July 23rd. Rokai, which is just out on PC, is out on July 23rd. And Paper Beast, which is on the Rift and Vive, and that's July 24th. And that's pretty much the next week of releases.
Well done. You sounded totally like Kim, especially towards the end there.
Definitely. I'm walking the fence. Yeah, I'm going to feed the critters. And yes, I've got a 7-year-old, and my sister just dropped in. Yeah, just like Kim. And then that was a motorbike going past.
Yeah. Hey, Robin.
Yeah. Victory achieved.
Maybe we should. Yeah, I think we should talk about victories achieved.
Let's get
stuff out of the way.
Finish your frigging games, will you? You frigging spent money on them. These wonderful people. I'm really annoyed at you this week, especially one person, Infected Psych. He finished Fractured Minds, the Pete special. Yes.
Pete special.
The Pete special.
An 80,000 gamers board.
Yeah, no. Anyway, look, victory achieved. When you finish your games, we throw you into a draw and for money, for real money. Honestly, it's not hard to do. Finish the game, you send a tweet off to @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved, and we will retweet it, and it'll be entered into the draw. So this week, Infected Psych finished Fractured Minds. I wonder if he got the full 1,000. Duke Scath, he finished Hue, that wonderful little coloured game. Probably the wrong Hue. Bongo the Sane finished Cube 2. behave yourselves. James finished Portal, which is the real Portal, not Cube. And Lewis Danson and the legit Shinny finished The Last of Us Part 2. So very, very well done to yous. And for that, we'll get some guy
who jumped off a bridge in Paris. It was insane.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
There you go. What's that? Okay.
Jumping off the bridge. Listeners dropping off.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you for that, Robin. That was lovely.
I
appreciate your sensibilities. Absolutely. Love it. Look, if you've made it this far in the show, you definitely have earned an achievement, one that we can never actually give you. But take pride and know that you made it all the way through. We do this every Sunday, so come back. Have some fun. Be part of the chat. It is... it's always fun when we have interaction with our users. And we had quite a few people in the chat.
Yes.
Want to give some shout outs. So we had Hardly Dan there. We had Lurks. We had Martin. We had the electric Lawnboard. We had Commander Root, always there. Another TV viewer, also part of the chat. We also had, they were in there earlier, and I now don't
A-10.
See them. So. Yeah, A10.
R3N1. Davis, who is one of my colleagues at work. So
yes.
Ryan.
Well done, Ryan. You've sucked another one in. We're slowly taking over the world one coworker at a time. So we're here every weekend. So come back. It's fun. We'll hang out. We'll have a cocktail together. We'll talk about games. We'll talk about life. We do it on Twitch. We do it on YouTube. We might do it on Facebook in the future. We do not do it anymore on Mixer, sadly. I'm sad about that. Very sad. Pete, anybody you would like to give a special shout out to, other than your coworker Ryan Davies, who is now reporting you to HR?
Right, I'm going to shout out Mark Hoppus. He's never going to listen to this show. He's never spoken to me ever. I wouldn't be worthy to be in his space, but he's the bass guitarist from Blink-182. And... the one thing I didn't mention about The Last of Us 2 is there's a section or three, four sections in it where you can play a guitar and you can play it freestyle. You just have to hold the L1 or L2 button and you can strum away on the small pad that's in the middle of the PS controller. Right. And it's you can play any tune you want to. And Mark Hoppus played the Blink-182 classic Damn It! Through that game in that section of the game, and he ended up getting on YouTube somewhere, and I thought that was so cool that he managed to pull that little rift off. And that was just a real funny moment, I think, and then I was playing the game, you know, around the same time, so that was cool. So I'm going to share it, Mark. That was really it was very innovative. I wish I could do stuff like that. I'll hand you over to Robin.
Okay, I'm going to put a wee picture up on the screen right now of Sue, SLH. And SLH had COVID. She had Woo flu. And
on a scale.
She's still alive, which is really cool.
That is good news.
Yeah. But she suffered pretty hard and still is suffering pretty hard from the symptoms of COVID and the ongoing stuff. Sue's a gamer, doesn't maybe game as much. We met her. This photograph is with Chris MJW from Boss Wave. This is from Eurogamer 2013. My goodness. Sue was there, and just a shout out to Sue. I know she still listens to the shows. So sad to hear that you're having a hard time. Anyway, get well soon, and hopefully you can make a full recovery. Chris, you're a dick. Phil, Mark from the show, I want you back on. And Mark, I know you're going through stuff, and Phil, you're going through stuff, so get back on here as quick as you can. Parkwood, want to shout out, good lad, RC. Mr. Miyagi in Australia, you're a fine judge of character. I bumped into Lord Alan Sugar at a thing there last week, and I just said hello to him, and he said hi to everybody, and that's about me. So take us home, Greg.
All right. On a somewhat sad, a very sad note, my uncle passed away, Uncle David. So rest in peace, Uncle David. Yeah, no. Hopefully, my understanding is it went peacefully, not COVID related at all. Cancer, of course, right?
Fuck cancer.
So, yeah, exactly. Fuck cancer. But also shout out to all of my cousins and my aunt that they're having to deal with that, and just life goes on, right? That is what happens. It does go on. And big shout out to my wife. Love you, honey. Happy birthday, pre-birthday. It's almost around the corner. 21 only comes like 5 times now. But yeah, happy 21st birthday.
Yeah, you're just edging and trying to angle for some stuff, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I'll be filling the wine glass up heavily.
Yeah.
All right. That is it. We are done. Let's get out of here. Let's get back to gaming.
Good stuff.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.